All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you're here this morning. I want to reemphasize, take a class. It's for your benefit. You will grow from it, I guarantee you. Put in the time, put in the effort, put in the work. Be willing to do homework. The homework we ask you to do is like spend time with God, all right? And if you're like, I don't like homework, well, are you a believer? Really? Really, right? I mean, spending time with the Lord is our life. He is life. And if you're too busy to do that, you're too busy. If you have other priorities instead of that, your priorities are not in alignment with Him. So, sign up today. All right. I don't know if you knew this, but last Tuesday, we had a birthday. And it wasn't Bob Isala's. Bob Isala's birthday was last Tuesday, but we had a birthday. Catalyst turned 18 years old. Last Tuesday marked the 18th anniversary of when we had our very first service as Catalyst at Stanford Middle School. It was September 10th, 2006. We had our first service. And I think it's just so interesting to me that we turned 18. Because when someone turns 18, they're considered an adult. Now, I know you're thinking, some people are 18, I don't think of them as a, but when you turn 18, you consider it a lot. Along that with that comes privileges. When you turn 18, you get some privileges, but also there's higher expectations of you. The bar is raised. Okay, I found this. This is 50 things you can do. I'm going to read it real quick. 50 things you can do when you turn 18, all right? You can vote, you can enlist in the military, males have to register for selective service, you can sign a legal contract, you could legally change your birth name, you could serve on jury duty, you could file a lawsuit, you could open a brokerage account, you could open a bank account, you could apply for credit cards, you could buy real estate, you could rent an apartment, you can engage in pawn shop activities, you could get a Costco card, you could file for bankruptcy, you could consent to medical care, you could get a vaccine, you could give blood, you could go to the ER by yourself, you could purchase cough suppressants at 18, use a meat slicer in a deli when you turn 18, become a realtor, become a notary, work in a bar, even though you can't drink, you can serve drinks in a bar, you can drive a taxi, you can get a license to drive a truck, you could work full-time during school, you could get body modifications, you could travel without parents' consent, buy a lottery ticket, buy alcohol outside the U.S., you could buy a pet, you could gamble, you could skydive, you could book a hotel room, you could excuse yourself, if you're in high school and you're 18, you can excuse yourself from school and class, all right? You can buy fireworks, you could bet on horse racing, you could rent an Airbnb, you could use rideshare scooter, you could be free from curfews, you could buy spray paint, you could allow a service repair worker to come inside your house if you're there by yourself, you could buy a car, you could get sued, you could get married, you could apply to find a biological parent if you were adopted, you could adopt a child in some states when you're 18 years old, and you could move out of your parents' house. So those are 50 things once you turn 18. Micah, you can do all those things now. You can do all those things now. And I don't believe for one minute that it's an accident or it's a coincidence that our church just turned 18. Because in this season, in this Kairos moment and time, God is calling our church to a higher thing. He is raising the bar. He is calling us into our calling as mature adults, as a church, for what He has planned and purposed from the beginning of our time to our church for our church collectively to do and fulfill. He's calling us out of being kids collectively and into adulthood. And part of that is he is providing us with a new facility. It's very close. Okay, it's very, very close. We have not signed the lease yet, but it's close. And you should be getting a letter this coming week to announce this new facility. And that is not a coincidence. That is not a coincidence. Catalyst, it's time we grew up and step into who God created and called us to be. It's time. And I believe in some important ways, over our past 18-year history, we've learned things parallel to what the Israelites learned when they were in the wilderness. In the wilderness, after they were freed from 400 years of being in bondage and slaves in Egypt, right? God raised up Moses, and they had the Exodus, and they were freed from Pharaoh's oppression. You know, Pharaoh represents the world. Pharaoh represents Satan and the world, and they were freed from the world, and they were brought to the Lord. And while they were in the wilderness, it was their time of maturing. Just like for us, I think this 18 years, it was our time of maturing as a church community, as God's people here at Catalyst. Now, let me share with you some ways that they matured that I think parallel to the ways we've matured. First, they met God, they experienced his presence, and they learned how to worship him. Okay, met God, experienced his presence, learned how to worship him. Exodus 19, 10 and 11. The Lord told Moses, go down and prepare the people for my arrival. See, God called them to go to Mount Sinai. And he was going to come down in a big cloud of smoke and meet them. He was going to meet his people, the Israelites, who he called to himself. Consecrate them today and tomorrow and have them wash their clothing. Be sure they are ready on the third day, for on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai as all the people watched. So God called the people into the wilderness to mature them. And one of the first things he does is he says, I am going to meet them. They are going to see me as a cloud, in a cloud. And so they got to meet God, the God who their forefathers had worshiped, a God that they didn't really know or hadn't really met. They probably engaged in certain religious practices, but they had never met him. They didn't really know him. In fact, when God first calls Moses, right? Moses says, what's your name? What should I call you? And he says, I am who I am, Yahweh, right? I am who I am. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so here on Mount Sinai, they meet God. And they experience his presence. There's nothing greater than the meeting and experiencing the presence of God. That's everything. That's why he made you. To be in relationship with him, to be one with him, to experience 24/7 his presence, and to be continually invited into the Godhead, into the Trinity, to be forever united as one and experience the presence of God. You know, in our past 18 years, I think that's been a thing, a major emphasis, meeting and experiencing the presence of God. That's one of our values as a church. God's presence. And I just remember thinking back, you know, I thought back, and I even looked pictures. I was going to show some pictures from our first, but I thought, no, I don't have time to do that. But I thought back the very first service we had and the different things. And then I remember when we used to worship then, we would have worship. Ross would be leading worship. And I don't think anyone really stood. No one, very few people raised their hands. There's only a few brave souls who would lift their hands like this. And some of you that are newer to Cali say, what? This place is kind of crazy sometimes, right? What things people do is just like, no. Yeah, Bob, I saw him banging that drum up and no, in the beginning, people were just like, but God met us. I can't count the number of times gathered corporately, we would experience the presence of God. And sometimes in some really powerful ways. And not that that's the only way we worship, just worship is our lifestyle, it's our life. But corporately, worshiping the Lord, singing to the Lord, singing praise to the Lord, he taught us to worship him. He taught us and showed us his presence. And so the Israelites met God. They were introduced to him and they experienced his presence. Next, they were transformed from slaves to sons and daughters. Exodus 19, 3 through 5. Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. So God's communicating to the people. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. All the 10 plagues, how he wiped out the Egyptian army by the Red Sea. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So that was God's intent. That was God's purpose, to bring a people to him, to himself. Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, you, listen to this, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me. They had been slaves for 400 years, but God called them to be his. He called them to be his own. He says, I'm calling you to me. You belong to me. I'm adopting you as my sons and daughters and bringing you into my family. You're mine. You're my special treasure. Don't you ever forget that you are God's special treasure. It reminded me of Toy Story, the movie. You know, because in Toy Story, there's one very iconic scene when Andy, right, or Woody gets separated from Andy. And he gets separated, he's scared, he feels lost. But there's something that reminds him, right, who he is. On the bottom of his boot, Andy wrote his name. Andy said, you're mine. Never forget who you are. You belong to me. Knowing who we are, knowing our identity in Christ, we pounded that over the years because that's our true identity. That's your strength. That's your home base. If you're ever scared, if you're ever concerned, if you're ever stressed, if you ever have self-doubts, if you're ever feeling bad about yourself, remember who you are. Remember who you belong to. God has written his name, not on your foot, but in your soul, in your spirit. He wrote his name and says, the Romans 8 says, our spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father. And so, the Israelites, they were transformed from slaves to sons and daughters. And I believe that's what the Lord has done for us too. Third, they experienced God's grace and provision over 18 years. Deuteronomy 1:31, and you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness. Just as a father cares for his child, now he has brought you to this place. God miraculously provided for the Israelites with food and water over their 40 years in the wilderness, right? It was called manna. He provided manna. Sometimes in the evening, he provided quail, but he provided for them miraculously. And we, as a church, have experienced God's grace, God's provision, God's healing, and he has brought us to where we are today for his purpose. You know, I remember when I moved out for college and came down to Southern California, I lived with three other guys, four of us bachelors. You know what our number one meal was while we were four bachelors? Oh, ramen? Not, we would eat ramen some, but it was banquet frozen pot pies over rice. We could just pop that in the toaster oven, right? And when they were on sale, you could get four for a dollar. Yeah, four banquet frozen pot pies. And sometimes I didn't do this, I didn't stoop this low, but my roommate, he would go to school. Well, he went to SC, that explains it. Okay, but anyway, he would go pick up lunch. He would go to AM PM and buy two hot dogs for 99 cents. And he put that in. Sometimes he'd buy four. And he put that, he said, that's right, I just saw him the other day. He said, the worker at AM PM started to get to know him. He goes, okay, two or four today. He goes, and he'd stick it in his backpack and he'd take it and he'd walk around until lunch. Sometimes he said he'd take them out of that wrapper and it would be all shriveled and gray looking. And I go, you know, when we were on our own, we appreciated our parents. We appreciated all the meals, the house, the, yeah, Micah, you thank your parents, all right, for all those years of providing. God provided for Israel in the wilderness. He provided for them. He showed them grace. He healed them, and we've experienced that at Calus. We've experienced that. We've experienced his grace and his goodness. And then finally, they learned to follow God and be led by his Spirit. Numbers 9, 22 and 23. Whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in camp and did not move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them through Moses. And so they would set up the tent, the tabernacle, right? And there would be, in the day, God's presence would be over the tabernacle as a cloud. And at night, that cloud would glow, and it would look like fire. And that cloud was the presence of God. And they, whenever the cloud stopped, they would stop. But when the cloud moved, they'd pack up everything, and sometimes they'd just stay for one night. The cloud would stop, and then in the morning it'd start moving, so they would pack up everything. Sometimes they would stay for a whole year. But they learned to trust and follow the Lord. They were led by the Spirit of God. You know, that's another one of our values of Catalyst, Spirit-led. We want to be led by the Spirit. We don't want to plan things and do things from our own mind and then ask the Lord to bless it. We say, no, Lord, what are you doing? Where are you leading? Where are you going? Because we want to follow you. They were Spirit-led. That's why it's so important to know and hear the voice of God through the Scriptures, through the Word of God, and by the Spirit. Every day, we need to hear the voice of God. Every day. because it's his voice that gives us life and that leads us. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's voice is more important than your food, your daily meal. Because that's life, relationship with him. It's key to living it. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to live a spirit-filled life, if you want to live an abundant life here on earth, you have to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. You have to know and recognize his voice and follow and obey his leading. So Callous family, just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we've been blessed for 18 years. The Lord's been very, very good to us. But now God is calling us to a higher level. He's calling to a higher place. He's saying, kids, time to grow up. I have a job for you. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you to fulfill. And now is the time. Now is the time to step in, to be a city on a hill, a light of life and hope and salvation and healing to the people around you, to the community. And so God called the Israelites into the promised land. He brought them into the promised land. They crossed the Jordan and they made their way into the promised land. Interesting, it wasn't Moses that led them. Moses could not lead them into the promised land because Moses represented the law. And Moses disobeyed God. And because he disobeyed God by hitting the rock rather than calling out to it for water, that's how the law is. No grace. Unforgiving. You sin one part of the law, you sin against all the law. That's why. Who's the one that God had to raise up to lead them into the promised land? Joshua. Yeshua. Jesus is the one that leads us into the promised land. Now, what God called Israel into the promised land? Joshua tells them they need to consecrate themselves. Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Part of this part right here, I've taken from Chris Valentin. He gave a great message. Actually, Marcy told me about it. And I heard Chris, no. Stephanie told me about it. Yeah. And I heard Chris Valentin from Bethel Church about a month ago, gave a great message on this. And he talks about that God was preparing wonders for the Israelites to experience. He says, consecrate yourself because I'm going to show you wonders. I'm going to do miraculous, amazing things in your midst. You're going to experience my power moving through you. But in order to experience that, you must wholeheartedly give yourself to me. You have to purify yourselves. You have to consecrate yourselves. The way they did things in the wilderness would not work in the promised land. How they did things, it wouldn't work in the promised land. So they had to give themselves fully to the Lord and learn life in the promised land. Now they needed to do three things real quick. First, they needed to grow in purity. They needed to put away fleshly things. God tells Joshua that before they can possess the land and see his wonders, all the men needed to be circumcised. Look up Joshua 5, 4 and 5. Joshua had to circumcise them because all the men who were old enough to fight in battle when they left Egypt had died in the wilderness. So God had instituted circumcision way back. right? And it was a sign of covenant, that you are in covenant relationship with God, that you have given yourselves wholly to God, and we are one. We are in relationship together. And as a sign of that, he told them, have your children circumcised on the eighth day. Right? That was the sign that they were in covenant together. But while they were in the wilderness, the Israelites didn't do that. All right? Verse 5, let's look. Those who left Egypt had all been circumcised. But none of those born after the Exodus during the years in the wilderness had been circumcised. That's interesting, right? Now, what is circumcision? Is the cutting away of the flesh of the male genital and tossing it aside. I remember when my son Matthew, when he was born, the doctor says, the nurse says, okay, do you want him to get circumcised? And then people go, yeah, I think so. Now I'm circumcised, so yeah. And then, and it's kind of like, yeah, I guess so, yeah. There's circumcision in the Bible, so yeah. So I remember Matt got circumcised. Matt, you don't remember this, but Matt got circumcised. And then they take him in the back, and then they say, okay, we're going to take him. I go, oh, can I go with you? Can I watch? They go, well, they go, it's kind of, they go, no, I want to watch. I want to be there for my son. So they take him in the back, and then little baby, right, few days old, they strap him to this board, right? They strap him to this board, and then, right, they take, and I go, oh my gosh, they don't even use any anesthetic, right? And then they cut, and I'm there, and then I'm strong, I'm watching, I'm there for my son, right? And these kids crying, right? They circumcise, right? But in Jewish, right, religion, Jewish spirituality, circumcision was the sign that they had yielded themselves to the Lord, and they were entering into a covenant with God. That was the sign, right? And so Joshua says, fellas, come here. We're going to have a men's meeting right now, right? Imagine that, men's meeting. Men, you want to be in this meeting? We're going to have a men's meeting right now. And he said all of them had to be circumcised. Why? Why at this time? God gave them a pass in the wilderness. 40 years, he let them have a pass. But when they were going to enter the promised land, the guys got to get circumcised. Why? Because circumcision represents cutting away the flesh. Consecrating yourself to the Lord. It represents purity. Walking in purity. As we go into this new season, it's not even a season, it's more of our new reality. We need to walk in greater purity. Because there's things that the Lord wants to do. There's power that he wants to release. There's wonders he wants to do in our midst that you can't experience unless you're walking in greater purity. And so for us, what does that mean? We have to face the issues that have been there in our lives. And some of those issues have been there for years and decades, and we know it. We know they're there, and we've refused to face them and deal with them. There are personal sin areas. There are relationship areas. There are things of unforgiveness. There are wounds, trauma, abuse, things that people have experienced. There are marital issues. There are family dynamics. There are habits that we've just been in. We need to address. For this season we're moving into, we need to address. We need to be brave and courageous and supportive and loving and gracious to one another. We need to help each other. We need to exhort each other to greater things. Because in this next season, living how we've lived, it's not going to work in the new season. First Corinthians 13:11 says this, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." Spiritually, some of those issues, they're childish things. I have them too. But it's time to grow up. Because God wants more for us. There's things that the Lord will give graciously to kids, but there's some things he will withhold only for adults. Those are the higher things. Those are the greater things. Those are experiencing God in new ways that is only reserved for adults, spiritually. And so it's time. It's time to deal with. Second, the Israelites, they need to take responsibility for themselves and for those around them. Joshua 5:10-12. While the Israelites were camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the first month. The very next day, they began to eat unleavened bread and roasted grain harvested from the land. So remember, they got food provided for them, manna in the wilderness. Once they stepped into the promised land, they had to harvest their own food. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Cana. God no longer provided the manna. They were not kids anymore. They had to harvest it on their own. And they had to learn to feed themselves. You know what that is? Taking responsibility as an adult. Taking responsibility on the... You know, one of the clearest signs of maturity is being able to take responsibility for yourself and others. That's a mark of maturity. That's the mark of adulthood. As a man, right? When you, as you mature, you're supposed to learn to take care of yourself, but then you have to take care of your spouse. Take care and provide for your children. You're willing to carry and you're able to carry the greater load of responsibility. I've mentioned this before. One of the most freeing days in my life is when I gave my son-in-law, Lauren, Mindy's student loan documents. Handed those over to him, right? Now he had to carry the responsibility of that, which he has done fabulously. They got out of debt. He has done. But I carried that thing for many years. But part of maturity, Lauren, if you're going to marry my daughter, that's part of maturity. Carrying responsibility for yourself first, but then being willing to be responsible for others. A mature person spiritually is willing to take responsibility to help others grow. Grow in the Lord. Who are you willing to help grow? Who are you helping to grow? Who are you called to invest your life in so that they can know the life, salvation, intimacy, relationship with the Lord? Hebrews 5:12 says this, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others." You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. In the spirit, there is expectations of growth and maturity. That at a certain point in our spiritual walk, we should move from just being only receivers. We need to be receivers from the Lord for all of our life. But we need to be moved from being only receivers to giving and building others up and investing in them. God expects that. That is part of normal, healthy, spiritual growth. And so for us, as we move into this new reality, that's the question we're going to be challenging and posing, is who is God calling you to come alongside and help mature? Because if you don't, you'll be stuck and you're going to be, and no one, it's not a pretty picture, right, to see an adult acting like a baby. And so this new season is being willing to take responsibility, not just depending on the manna, knowing, hey, we can harvest. And the great thing about harvesting, you get to eat whatever you want. You get all this delicious, the land flowing with milk and honey. You get to taste and experience and enjoy. Finally, God provided them land, but they needed to fight to possess their inheritance. I fully believe what we're entering into is going to be amazing. I could see it. Some of it. I could see some of it. You're going to, and we're going to together, experience God's presence greater than we've ever had before. We're going to see God doing things and transforming people's lives more than we ever have. We're going to see people touched by the Lord, miraculously healed, and receiving inner healing, and just being changed by the grace and the love of God. That's what God has for us. I mean, I can't wait to tell you the story of how all of this facility thing unfolded. Because our elders, totally convinced we could see God's hand in it. So many ways we could see God's hand in it. It's because the Lord's leading us into something awesome. He's doing it. But we have to do our part and step in faith. And it's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require time and energy and effort. It's going to require us to have courage and to face things that we haven't wanted to face, or do things that we're hesitant to do. It's going to require sacrificial giving of money and finances to fix up this place, to be something that I think the Lord wants for it. Which is going to be awesome. And he's been sowing into us, creating. We were like in this incubator for 18 years, teaching us, giving us experiences, raising us up, healing. But now he's saying, Catalyst, it's your time. I'm going to release you to impact the world. What you carry, what I poured into you over 18 years, you're ready. There's so much that we have, there's so much that you guys, we all have that you carry, because the Lord has poured in. And if we just take the step of faith to step in, we're going to see amazing stuff. And so God says, it's time to grow up, to be who God called us collectively to be as Catalysts, to be a city on a hill, and to see all the wonders that God has prepared for us. So Catalyst family, let's go. Let's go together. Let's go. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I know in my spirit and in my heart, just for me personally, that we're on the threshold of what for me is one of the most significant things in my life. God, and you have been so gracious to us over these 18 years. I know when I look back, I'm so different. My relationship with you is so different now than it was 18 years ago. I love you more today than I ever have. I'm closer to you today than I ever have. I hear you more clearly today than I ever have. And Lord, you've been blessing us and preparing us to be a blessing in your name for others, to bear fruit for your name, to shine the light that you poured into us, to bring glory to your name, Lord. We want others to see you and us, and because of our good works, give honor and glory and give their lives and praise to you. Because you are worthy, God. You are so worthy. And so, Lord, thank you that you have the wheel, that you're leading us. And Lord, thank you for all that you're gonna do and show and ways you're gonna move. Thank you for this family who I love so dearly, Lord, so thankful for. And so, Lord, let's go. Lord, let's go. Let's go together. Let's go with you because you're leading us. So let's go, God. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.